and it's bad for radio. Welcome back to another exciting answer of the week. This week's a very special answer of the week. We have occasional guest host David DeMarco with us, who has recuperated nicely from the second time he was shot recently.
It only gets easier.
What doesn't kill you and all that, right?
Right, exactly.
Joe Patrick, what did we ask these nerds this week?
This week is a very special occasion. Man of Steel came out on Friday. We've all seen it. You've all seen it. We're going to talk about it. For the next little bit, we're going to talk about what you thought of it. We're going to talk about what we thought of it. And it's going to be spoiler heavy.
Yes. Spoiler alert. Be warned. We're going to ruin this movie if you have not seen it. Okay?
So ruin it
you
forever.
Have been warned. Come back next week if you don't want to know what happened.
So we put out the call on the Facebook, on the Twitter. Tell us what you thought of Man of Steel, and you guys delivered. Let's go straight to Facebook with our spoiler-free impressions. I only had to delete one.
Who was that?
You know who you were.
Who was it?
Micah McGaffin.
Oh, come on, Micah. What are you doing, man?
Though I agreed with him 100%.
All right.
Chris Bell kicks it off by saying he thought it was a brilliant action slash sci-fi flick. Not quite a Superman movie, though. I enjoyed it, but got no special feelings, quote unquote. That said, drink. He wrote that. I'm very proud of him.
Awesome.
My non-nerd friends say it was more accessible because it felt like a superhero-flavored action film rather than an unbelievable soup story. He then breaks down into some sort of British mental psychosis.
What?
Because he put a U in the word flavored. And then he says...
That's how the Queen spells it.
Yes. I use the letter U in words I'm supposed to. We made the language. Deal with it.
Armoire.
Oh, wait. He says if you read this on the show, make sure you...
Couleur.
If you read this on the show, make sure to scream where indicated. So I'm sorry. Yes, I use the letter U in words I'm supposed to. We made the language. Deal with it!
All right. There it is. From across the pond.
And then he ends it with tally-ho.
Tally-ho. I do love the British smack.
Chris, the British guy.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Andrew Morrison says, no problems with the story tweaks, but he had issues with the need to explain, through question and answer sessions, the major plot points to an assumed stupid audience. I guess I didn't really feel that.
Yeah.
The movie teaches by Socratic method.
I didn't really notice that so much. I don't know.
Upon future viewings, I'm sure it will stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't really recall that, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I don't
Where am I from, Pop? I don't know, son. Maybe this ship holds all the answers. And he looks at the audience and winks. What are you talking about? That's what happened.
John Boucher says, I found it to be a lot of fun, even if it does get a little carried away with the CGI spectacle towards the end. It could have benefited from having about a half hour cut off of the runtime, but I have to say that for the first time in my life, I am excited about the future of a non-Batman DC film franchise.
Okay.
I can't wait to see Snyder get his hands into the special effects toy box that is Superman's Rogues Gallery. I just want to see Brainiac or Bizarro or even Metallo on the big screen someday. And I think Snyder, though I don't always love his work, definitely has the artistic sensibilities to do any of them justice on a visual level, if not an emotional one. All that being said, I do have to question the studio's decision to have the entire movie take place inside of an IHOP.
There was a lot of IHOP references. More than three.
Some really strange product placement in this one.
Yeah.
Sears, for some reason, and IHOP were the ones that really stood out.
I don't recall Sears. What happened?
Yeah, well, there was a Sears in Smallville.
Oh.
Which just doesn't know.
And that's the only like legitimate.
I believe there's a Sears in Smallville.
How many people live in Smallville?
I don't know. I believe there's a Sears there.
Like I look at like Smallville, like Avoca, Iowa.
It's like one of the
1,200 people. There's
one of the
no
old
Sears there.
School Sears.
No, I think Smallville's big enough to
for a Walmart.
Like to have big enough to have a Walmart. Sure. If that
they
was
would not
the
have
way
a
they went.
Yeah,
they'd have a Walmart.
Listen, the town.
The Walmart came in. Smallville died. Yeah. Everyone works at the Walmart.
Listen,
that's it.
Shenandoah, Iowa, the town near where I went to high school, had a Pomida, and then Walmart came in and just shoved Pomida out of business.
Taught those Jews what real business was.
Jesus.
Sorry, Pomida.
Anyway, Bo Conroy writes in. Has Bo written in before?
I don't think so. Welcome aboard, Bo.
Welcome aboard, Bo.
I feel like I remember a Bo.
Yeah.
Is it B-O or B-E-A-U-X?
Bouts.
It's B-O. It's B-O.
It's not Bukes?
It's not Bukes. Bo Conroy says, I took my 3-year-old twin boys. The two best parts for me were, one, when Lois tells Superman he saved them, one of my boys had the biggest smile on his face.
Aww.
And two, after the movie, my boys were, quote unquote, flying around the lobby, both being Superman.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah, I liked the movie myself, but the best thing about it is that my kids will have a Superman of their own to look up to. We'll talk about this later. And finally, from Facebook, John Mitchell says, I thought Man of Steel was great. This is coming from a guy who has only seen the movies multiple times and watched the Justice League when he was eight. Eight? How old are you, John?
John's as old as I am.
Wait, does he mean... We grew up next to each other. The super friends.
Yeah. Super friends.
Okay, let's all right.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill made a great Superman. Dare I say the best one yet? Reeves was wonderful, don't get me wrong, but watching this one made me realize where Superman Returns fell flat. Donner's Superman is still great, but it's dated now. Superman Returns tries to pick up a dated story where it was left off in 1980.
Totally agree.
Man of Steel works because they ignored the old movies and did their own thing. Cavill played the character rather than try to channel a former actor who played the character
perfectly,
which is what it seemed like everyone was doing in Returns. I do agree with that.
Yeah, sure.
All the actors definitely in Man of Steel played their characters, and it was refreshing. Also, the totally different score was a good choice as well. Fair enough? Question mark.
I didn't mind the score at all. I thought Hans Zimmer killed it, and I walked out like hearing the song in my head.
Really? I cannot.
I totally did.
I couldn't duplicate it at all. If you asked me to,
I did not have a problem with Zimmer's score. Yeah.
Well, that's it from Facebook.
Okay.
But we do have a bunch of calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, let's see who called us this week.
You guys went crazy on the voicemail this week,
and we love it. Thank you. Keep them coming. So while I'm sure that you did the right thing and introduced yourself, the Google transcript is not very helpful. So let's see who this is, shall we?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is in regards to the answer of the week. This is Roderick Roof, also known as the man that can't be stopped. Love the show. Love you dudes. All the other stuff. Let me start off by saying I'm not the biggest Supes fan, but I enjoyed the Christopher Reeves movies. I watched Lois and Clark up until they got hitched. Watched the entire Smallville series and was bored by it. Read some Superman graphic novels here and there. After leaving Man of Steel, I was floored by the direction they went with in this movie. I think DC and Warner Brothers have effectively drawn a line in the sand with this one and said, hey, this is where we're going with this franchise. Are you in or not? Movie isn't your dad's Superman. This isn't your G. Willikers Boy Scout Superman. It's not even your Truth, Justice, and the American Way Superman either. It's really a brand new Superman for a generation that has all but abandoned this hero lately, and I think this movie got their attention back. You know, how does the greatest superhero ever in history compete in a market and in a generation where, you know, big budget superhero movies are now like the normal occurrence? I think you get to the heart of the character, which is that he is a reluctant alien god of Earth that can pretty much crush it or save it in the same breath. The movie had incredible visuals that we've come to expect from Zack Snyder, and awesome live-action fight sequences that we haven't seen outside of DC's animated stuff that we all wanted to see, too. I know a lot of the gripe was between Superman killing Zod. My question is, what else was he going to do? Zod was pretty relentless and clearly stated that he would never stop, that he was even genetically engineered to not stop. There was no going back to the Phantom Zone after that, so I don't think anyone else in the theater that I was in, at least, expected Superman to kill him, because everyone had an "oh shit, I can't believe this isn't butter" sort of a moment right after he got his neck snapped. Anyway, I liked it. I could sympathize why people are rattled over their precious Superman, but I'm looking forward to more of this stuff. Thanks, guys.
All very valid points, Roderick. I'll give him that. Very valid, and we'll get to it when we talk about our stuff. But yeah, I can see where he's coming from in a lot of. In a lot of ways here.
I know a lot of the grape was between two where man killings not, says the Google transcript.
Way to go, guys.
Yoda stepped in.
And that's where I giggled.
Keep up the good work, guys. Okay, so this is a short one from Sean, and then he looks like he calls right back.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just do the long one.
Hey, kids, it's Sean. It's calling back. You guys don't have to play this, but if you do play it, I just had to chime in. I didn't mention it before, but I had another problem with Superman. I just had a little problem with the collateral damage and then him fighting Zod. I just had a feeling that Superman would have grabbed Zod and taken him someplace less, inhabited, maybe, if you will. That seemed a little bit odd that he just kind of... And plus, he's getting thrown into everything, and there was always something to get hit against. So that was a little odd for me for a Superman movie. Anyway, thanks for taking the call to play this one. I thank you guys. And another thing, too, is Superman Unchained, $4.99 digital? That doesn't make any sense. $4.99 paper, I can see it. $4.99 digital? Wow. I guess it's good to buy the paper. All right, kids, I'll talk to you later.
It is.
That is super lame. No pun intended.
That's dumb. I mean, that's the way the system works.
I get
as
it.
Long as the retailers and Diamond and Comixology all have to coexist.
I get it. That's dumb.
In 2 months, it'll drop a dollar.
Right. Still dumb.
The way Sean talks, I think he may have gone on for a while in that first call.
Yeah, didn't realize
it. It cut off after 10 seconds, Sean. We didn't even play it. Sorry.
But also a valid point, so we'll get to.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it in a little bit.
Absolutely.
Here. Moving right along. Again, I have no idea who this is, thanks to the ridiculous Google transcript.
Council Bluffs, I bet it's Camarillo
Could
Brillo.
Could be Camarillo Brillo. Could be. Here, let's find out.
Hello, two-headed nerds. This is Camarillo Brillo.
It's official. We have one listener in Council Bluffs.
I admittedly have not seen the Superman movie, so it's kind of pointless for me to call in with a take, except for I do want to say I was going to take my son to this. My son is 4 years old, and I haven't let him see any of the Marvel movies at all. I thought they were probably a little more mature than I wanted him to get exposed to. But I thought in the back of my mind that I would hold off and I would take him to see Superman, because surely a Superman movie would be relatively safe. That being said, I started reading all the reviews and everything, and I got a little concerned. Now I have this day off tomorrow, and I was planning to take my son out of daycare and go see this movie, and I don't think I can take him to see it. Even if the ending, if you guys hopefully are going to spoil it to discuss it fully, even if it serves as kind of a catapult for the next film for him to know that he's crossed the line and that he's not going to be able to cross that line again if there's some remorse, you can't explain that to a child. You can't explain that it's a character-building moment and that, you know, Superman had a moment of weakness and that he has to grow from this. Because to a kid, especially as young as mine, which is probably too young to see the movie anyway, they see these guys as one thing, one-sided. Superman is bad. If Superman do something like that, I can't explain it away. As he grows up, he'll understand, but it's going to be a while, so want to see this movie, and I'm not going
to. Okay, I'm going to cut this off because Camarillo was traveling time while he was.
He's in the TARDIS.
But that's that was Zod, you are not alone moment.
Very valid point. And at first I was like, oh, you haven't seen the movie, why are you calling? But that's a very valid point.
Sure. The reason he's calling is because he and I had a long conversation about it at the shop. For those that haven't figured it all out by now, Camarillo Brillo is a customer at Legend Comics and Coffee. Dave and I know him very well.
Oh, yes.
And we've been talking about it, and he'd been asking me questions about it all weekend.
Right.
And he popped in yesterday, and we had a chat, and I was like, and I said, Camarillo Brillo, do not take your four-year-old son to see this movie. Because it's way, I mean, regardless of the ending, it's way too intense for a four-year-old
kid. And it's PG-13.
Well, but even if you say, if you say that the Marvel movies are too much, I'd say that the Marvel movies are tame in comparison.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as far as intensity goes, yeah. I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. Let's get to our last voicemail.
All right. This one is also a 402.
This is the whole man, according to the Google transcript.
I'm going to go with Zach Hollowell. That's my guess. Let's see what happens.
Maybe it's Ryan Sirek.
Hey, guys. This whole Man of Steel thing
Wooly toots.
Is pretty crazy to me. And I think it's reached some pretty crazy levels as well. I don't think I can recall any other comic book movie having such a polarity to one side or another as this, and it's like reached the point where people are figuring out the actual cost of all the destruction in the movie and the death toll and things like that. And I think that's gotten way out of hand, because in comic books, that's normal. The destruction of city blocks, uncalculated and unspecified civilian death is a normality. In all these mega crossovers like Fear Itself, no one gives a crap in comics. But then when you translate it to the film, holy smokes, everyone goes bonkers. And now I assume, since Superman is what I consider one of the big three out of superheroes, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man being like the biggest names that there are, I assume that's where all the passion is coming, where people either hate it or they love it. I guess what I'm getting at is, myself personally, I didn't go into the movie with a lot of baggage. I didn't go in hoping to see this or that, expecting it to be this or that, and going, it's got to be this or that because of the subject matter. So myself, I really enjoyed it. I had a blast. I thought it was super fun. Despite what Superman did at the end, I really feel like that was just the choice of the storytellers. You know, I mean, the movie wasn't necessarily made for comic book fans. It was made for a wider audience of fans. And you could argue that, hey, man, Superman is, this is like his first outing. He's never tackled a world threat before. He's helped this person and that person and done the best he could, but he was put in a hard position to make a crazy choice. I don't know. Listen.
He gets cut off there. I don't know. Listen.
I think Google voicemail might limit you to 3 minutes.
I say it might be because it stops exactly
at 3 minutes.
So we just learned something.
Yeah.
But he does have a very valid point. This is Superman's first outing. And, you know, maybe he wouldn't do it the same way again. And I get what he's saying also. Like, if you want to talk about death toll, the Hulk has killed billions.
Wrong.
You
know,
like,
no,
right,
he does.
I know. They try to explain that. Like, no, every time the Hulk punches a building, he's so smart. He knows how to make it fall. That's dumb.
Right.
No.
All right. Listen, hold off on that. We'll get to that.
That's dumb.
Let's talk about now our thoughts on the movie, and let's start with what we liked. Mac?
No, I mean, like, I'll go first. I will say, I did not hate this film. I didn't hate it at all. I thought it looked really great. I thought that Cavill looked amazing in the suit. That was very important. I needed him to look like Superman, and he absolutely looked like Superman. He was great. Built like a truck, good-looking dude. Even, like, when he spoke, sounded like him and stuff. I will say, one of the things, I like Zack Snyder as a director. He does a really good job with imagery. He does a fantastic job with action. I have no complaints about the action here whatsoever because it was amazing, truly, visually amazing. But he has some problems with just dialogue, you know, with making dialogue believable. And there were moments that should have touched me more than they did, like when he's talking to, when Cavill's talking to Kevin Costner and stuff like that. When they played it in the trailer, it really looked like we were going to have this heartwarming moment, but it just didn't work so well in the movie for me, you know? And I think that has to do with Snyder being a younger director, maybe. And not that it was terrible, but the dialogue was kind of ham-fisted in parts. I agree with Jared in the sense that, like, yeah, we freak out about destruction like this in the movies. And again, maybe it was his first outing or whatnot. It did come off as a little irresponsible, but it looked really, really cool. You know, I mean, I can't.
No one bats an eye when Batman drives a tank over the freeway and ruins it forever.
Right. You know, I can't take anything away from the action scenes because the action was amazing. And this was the Superman that I wanted to see moving fast, punching stuff,
yeah,
you know, being really strong, as opposed to the last movie where he caught a plane and that was really it.
It was definitely an answer to Superman Returns in regard to the action.
Yeah,
it was almost like
too
what,
much of an answer.
You didn't think he punched enough people, dorks? Well, right. Here you go.
No, I mean, I'm saying Snyder nailed that aspect of
sure.
it.
Sure. And no, I agree. I think the action was very well done. I thought it was fun to watch to an extent.
I didn't have a problem with any of the casting either. I thought everybody was good in their role.
I thought everybody
did a great job. Michael Shannon was
very
terrifying.
Well acted.
Yeah. I thought Zod was fantastic. I thought Cavill did good.
I thought Michael Shannon really sold it.
Yeah, definitely.
As Zod.
I loved Russell Crowe. I loved him as Jor-El.
It'd be nice if Michael Shannon could come back in a future film.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Like
Casey, who hates Russell Crowe. Can't stand him. Thinks he's a terrible actor. She walked out and said, I loved him in this movie.
Russell Crowe was good.
Fantastic.
So, all right, without delving into criticism quite yet, like you just did,
yeah.
Let's talk about more of what worked.
I mean, I get it.
But I loved the Krypton stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I loved everything on Krypton.
Totally awesome.
It took
the weird dragon thing was a little weird.
No, I know.
That worked.
Hey, it's an alien world. I get it. You know,
are they gonna have like a horse?
Yeah.
No, it's another planet. Or, they look like us, but they have dragonflies.
They have spaceships, and he jumps on a dragonfly instead of like a little, you know, scooter.
How else are you gonna get around?
I don't know. Weird scooter thing.
They have pets. It's just their pets.
Flash Gordon Hawkman rocket cycle. I don't know.
that's for Sundays.
But I thought that the Krypton imagery took a lot of elements from the John Byrne Krypton.
Definitely.
The funny hats.
With the birthing matrix and all that. And the birthright Krypton.
Yeah.
And some elements unique to this movie. And they melded it all really well into a version of the planet that I really enjoyed watching.
Yeah, Krypton looked kick-ass.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go on record as saying that Superman the movie from 1978 is probably my favorite movie of all time. But I really hate that version of Krypton.
The crystal version?
That cold and lifeless.
Silly. Yeah, it was silly.
There are no structures. It's all just...
It looks like they live on an iceberg.
Yeah, it's all bleak and
it looks like they live on an iceberg,
yes, but it's all
and
like,
there's eight people there.
It's all like terraformed. That's the deal.
I like versions of Krypton where it's like grand buildings and huge super scientific things and also weird beasts. It's right out of the Silver Age where Krypton had all sorts of weird animals and Superman had like a menagerie of...
It's an alien world, for crying out loud.
Kryptonian animals or something, or the aliens from other worlds or whatever. But like, I loved Krypton. I thought Russell Crowe was great. I thought all of the actors did a great job. I feel like we needed maybe a little bit more Jonathan Kent. It was all Jor-El and very little Jonathan.
Okay.
And they were trying to do this balance between his two dads.
Right.
My two dads.
Yeah.
Coming this fall.
But I thought Kevin Costner did a good job.
I think they definitely probably cut some stuff for the sake of more action. Because they were so terrified.
I'll bet you're right.
The reviews that Superman Returns got.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. So when they put...
Why didn't he punch his own dad?
It wouldn't surprise me if there is more.
I think Amy Adams did a great job as Lois.
Yeah, she was good.
She was so much better than Kate Bosworth.
Oh my God, yes.
That Superman Returns was so horribly miscast in every possible way.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Although why we can't call her Amy Adams
there. As Perry White. He was good.
He was okay.
He was good. Yeah, he was good.
I'm sad it wasn't Hugh Laurie.
Sure, yeah.
That's what it was supposed to be.
That would have been awesome.
But Stupid House got in the way.
Stupid House.
What? And Bryan Singer even made House. Like,
I know.
Okay. A break. Let's come on.
All right, fine.
Dave, what did you enjoy about it?
Let's see. Certainly the visual effects, spectacular.
Amazing. Yeah,
The first 30 minutes of the movie, I was like, all right. Yeah, this is fun. It was stuff I had not really... It's an origin. It's the same. You know,
right.
Krypton's going to blow up, put the baby in the rocket, send the baby to Earth, la la la. Seen it all before. This felt fresh and fun and new.
Yeah, it worked.
I was right there with it. Gets to Earth, still with it, the whole thing. So, I mean, the framework of the movie is...
It's fine.
It's fine, yeah. This is... When this idea of the movie being polarizing to me, it is a fine movie. There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
It looks good. The acting is good. I don't think the dialogue is terrible.
Let's go into criticism here. Let's move into it.
Oh, real? Before we go into criticism, I want to say one last thing about the characters. I really like that it took an effort to flesh out Lara, Superman's mom, in a way that has never, ever been done, ever. Except maybe in occasional comics.
How do you mean?
All right, so the huge spoiler, which we already warned you about.
Yeah,
so
that's
whatever.
Off the table. So say whatever you want.
On Krypton, Jor-El is killed by Zod.
Right.
Before Krypton explodes. And so Lara has to, you know...
Oh, yeah, like she's around afterwards.
Yeah, so she's around and she's like his partner in a lot of it. And she gets to stare her husband's killer in the eye as he's sentenced to the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool.
I think that they did a great job with that character as well. It's nostalgic, but I am especially fond of the versions of the mythos where... You know, Jor-El and Lara are hand in hand as they watch the rocket go away, and then Krypton immediately explodes.
Yeah, but
oh my God! Well, 5 seconds later, this would not happen.
That baby would be dead.
Yeah.
So you lose that a little bit, but I think it adds a little bit of intensity when you have Zod as the killer of Jor-El, and it also serviced Lara in that way. I think.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
Nathan Bradford just called us.
Play it.
Well. All right, let's see what Nathan Bradford has.
Nathan Bradford
just called us. And then we'll get into our criticism.
Greetings, Two-Headed Nerd. This is Nathan Bradford, longtime listener with the Answer of the week. Me and my wife had got back from seeing Man of Steel. And
okay, before we move on, that is exactly how I want you to call me. That is perfect. Your name, why you're calling, excellent. Thank you, Nathan.
I have to say, we were thoroughly entertained. We've been seeing a lot of negative comments, so I just prefer to focus on the positive. Characterization of Superman, I think that they got to the heart of the character. As far as him being almost, I want to say, Christ-like figure because of the fact that they used so much imagery that nailed you over the head. But that's just a minor complaint. I think, really, they did get down to the heart of the character. And this was a really great Father's Day film as well, because ultimately this is about not one, but two fathers who sacrificed greatly for their son. So it was a nice excursion with my father-in-law, who enjoyed the film as well. The only negative thing I really have to say isn't about the way Superman resolved the Zod issue that we've been hearing a lot of complaints about, because, to be honest, it was justifiable. And this isn't the only time in Superman's history he's killed. Hell, this isn't even the first time he's killed Zod. The negative implications I have is regarding humanity itself, about how frickin' stupid they are. Basically, what we're looking at is a situation where humanity does not know who Superman's identity is. There is a widespread alien invasion that attacks three places, one in the middle of nowhere, one a giant metropolis, and one podunk town where a little kid has been cited as being essentially having godlike powers. So that's my major complaint, is that the U.S. government has to send a spy plane that cost $12 million when all it would take is just a Google search to find out who the identity of this mysterious Superman is.
That's the lowest.
Only the minor complaint I have. But overall, thoroughly entertaining. Thanks.
That's right. Totally fair.
Let's start our criticism right there.
Totally fair.
I think that the idea that they broke the idea of Superman and Clark Kent being two different people, something that I read online that I thoroughly agree with, is that essentially for this whole movie, even while he's in costume, Superman is not Superman. He's Clark Kent. He's Clark Kent in a costume, because Lois Lane can't stop shouting his name.
Yeah, constantly.
In front of civilians.
Right.
She was able to track him down with her super journalism powers, which I'll grant you.
She's a good reporter.
I didn't mind that.
No, I didn't mind it at all.
It made sense to me that Lois Lane, of all people, would be able to suss it out.
She's a damn good reporter.
But instead of like doing anything at all to deny it or cover it up, he just shows up at the farm,
right,
wearing a ball cap and some clothes he stole off a clothesline, and he's like, "What's up?"
Well, even better is like the FBI shows up. They're like, "Lois Lane, you're under arrest. You know who this guy is. Don't tell us anything." You know what I mean? It's like, just get in the car, you know, like, and they don't do any research. They don't seize her notes, you know, like Obama's listening to this right now as we record it. But the FBI, you know, they're just like, damn it. If only we knew, why won't you tell us? You know,
I'm pretty sure she shouted the name Clark within earshot of the general.
Oh, sure.
Who is later on at the end of the movie,
well,
like,
okay, regardless of that, there's no way
named Clark on planet Earth.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of that, there's no way that the alien invasion was not televised. Superman's all over the TV, and then he shows up at the Daily Planet with glasses on, and everybody goes, "You know who you look like?
You look just like
Mel Gibson
guy.
Showed up at my door right now wearing glasses, I would know it was Mel Gibson." Right. You know,
and like, that is.
But would you know it was Nick Nolte?
Depends on how drunk. Yeah, with the voice to get away.
And that is another thing. They made a zero differentiation between Clark Kent and Superman. And at the end, I didn't necessarily enjoy it, but I appreciate why they did it. You don't see Clark Kent as we know him until the very end.
And you know what?
And he just looks like Superman with glasses.
And I really, when they started doing that ending scene, because I felt bad. None of us liked the death, obviously. We didn't like that. We didn't like that he killed Zod. And we'll get to that. We'll discuss like the major parts that everyone's bitching about. But I did feel that it ended really well. It gave me a lot of hope for another movie. I was like, this is what I was waiting for. Yes. I want to see him, you know, the reporter. And I want to see the Daily Planet. And I want to see, you know, him working in the office with Perry and those guys. And him explaining it the way he was doing it. That was awesome.
But isn't that...
You know, I really like that.
Isn't that bad then? Like, the movie ended with what I wanted it to start with.
Well, no, I mean, like, I'm not saying that I needed it to start there. Well, I just, like, that feels more like Superman to me. You know what I mean?
Sure,
and,
sure.
And it made me excited to see more. It really did.
Yeah, and I'll give you that. And I just wish that they had made even the barest effort. Slick his hair back. Anything. Have him slouch.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the original Superman when Chris Reeve goes... And you think he's going to tell Lois, and he takes the glasses off, and he like straightens up. And
somehow he becomes 3 feet taller.
He becomes taller and also tan. Like, well, he even becomes less pale.
Where he walks in the Daily Planet, and Lois sees him and is like, no, no, no. And like messes up his hair and like puts glasses on him. Like, what are you, an idiot?
Like, at the end of this movie, he may as well have walked in the super suit wearing glasses.
Like, hovering in.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Clark Kent. I'm the new reporter.
Are you flying?
No. We get healthcare with this job, right? I really need it.
Yeah.
I get hurt.
I have AIDS. So I can't be Superman. So okay, let's talk about the destruction. Everybody's up in arms about the destruction. Yeah. And
Jared talked about it. Wooly Toots, he mentioned it and how in superhero comics nobody bats an eye.
But
and
they do.
I think that is only half true, because while things get destroyed and then in no time flat things are better again.
Right.
The common theme in all of those stories is that you see at least one moment where the hero of the story tries to save innocent people from being hurt.
Captain America screaming, get those people out of here.
Yep.
Or
it happened in the Avengers movie where he takes control of the cops.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man webbing up cars so they don't hit people.
Thor, and you're on civilian duty.
Superman returns.
Vaporizing the glass
as the windows are exploding. Yeah. And Superman in this movie did not make one single effort to save anyone. Except for Lois.
Now, to be fair, and I agree, but to be fair, the fights in this movie that were happening at like almost light speed, when does he have time? You know,
and
like
this is
if he's moving at light speed, you know, he has all the time in the world.
No, but his foe is as well. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right, you know,
like, then this
when does he have time to like save these people or grab this person when
Superman being Superman, like while he's punching a dude, he turns his head and like cuts a tree in half that's about to land on somebody.
Sure.
You can do that. Like, it's fine and people will clap.
Yeah, and that brings me to my number one complaint about the movie. While this is a fun superhero action movie, it is a terrible Superman movie.
I think Mark Waid actually said that.
Yes.
And I agree with what he said. You know,
and I don't want to parrot his review, but I had like Dave and I walked out of the theater thinking the exact same thing, and that was over a week ago.
Right.
We saw the movie last Monday and
special passes, you know.
Yeah, we're very important VIPs.
I paid.
Yeah.
Joke's on you, sucker.
So you've got this movie where you've got this character that is created to be an inspiring figure.
Right.
A character that is so good and so uplifting and so important that he inspires other people to be heroes.
Right.
That is Superman. And I'm not talking about, you know, quote unquote, my version of Superman. They've made lots of changes to the mythos and most of them I don't care about.
Sure.
But I think that they fundamentally damaged elements of the character that are essential to making Superman different than everybody else.
And I agree. Because, like, I mean, if this is real world and Superman has his fight in, say, New York, and he does save the day, everyone's like, yay, you saved the day. Then they're going to be like, yeah, but Superman killed my grandfather, my family. You know, like, if he wasn't here, none of this would have happened. Yeah, we hate Superman.
That, actually, but that's true.
And that's where it all
boils
down.
If he wasn't there, none of this would have happened.
And that is true.
Because when I was a little kid and watching Superman, the original, for the first time, when the rocket is leaving Krypton, I would get like, oh my goodness. Because the whole idea is that Superman is coming to Earth, and that's a good thing.
Right.
In this movie, it's like, It was the worst thing.
Well, it's also out of his hands.
I know that, but still, in the original, Lex Luthor in the original was going to blow up California anyway.
Right.
Superman was here to stop it.
No, I got
if
you.
If he wasn't on Earth, Zod, it's a classic case of like, if there was no 007, there would have been no Rogue 006.
If there was no Batman, there'd be no Joker.
Right.
Right.
I got
no, but I mean, there still would have been a Joker.
Who would have knocked him into the drink?
I don't know, somebody else. No, he would have just, I don't know what.
Okay, anyway.
But... And that is my point.
In
is
the
that
movie version.
Whether or not yes, I agree that in Man of Steel it was out of his hands, but that it was the movie makers that made it so.
Right.
Right.
Superman is a character built to do the impossible. That's what Mark Waid said.
Sure.
And that is something I 100% agree with. I don't want Superman to not try. It would be different if he tried and failed. If he tried and failed, I'll grant you the thing about it being his first outing as Superman.
Right.
His first world-threatening battle.
Yeah, it's certainly if they do this in the next movie, there is no
yes.
explanation whatsoever. Like, there's, it's unacceptable.
But if they had shown Superman making even the barest minimum effort to save people from the destruction of Metropolis and still failing and all of them dying anyway, I would have been 100% more on board.
Right. Or taking Zod to a mountain range and knocking mountains down while
doing
they fight or something.
Anything,
you know,
right? To get him out of harm's way. Yeah. Instead, he's punching him into harm's way.
Right.
And like through occupied
through diners
buildings
and through
downtown
fuel trucks
Smallville.
And, yeah.
Think about if Superman throughout the whole movie is trying to stop Zod from killing people, like directly, like in Smallville, Zod's vaporizing people, whatever, and Superman's trying to stop it every time, and Zod just keeps getting the better of him because he's
right.
trained and whatever. Now you have the end of the movie where Superman is just like, he's had it. You know, he's crippled Zod. He's got the ships in the Phantom Zone. He has no allies, no one to help him. And now it's just them fighting, and Zod is enraged because of all this stuff.
Right.
So now Superman has him at a slightly a disadvantage because Zod is crazed and the whole
right.
thing. He's still dangerous. That's where you have what happens, and it's a little bit more understandable because he's just been killing people.
Right.
But he really wasn't. Like, there, you never really see. It's just you can assume.
Well,
the Sears exploded. The IHOP exploded. These buildings fell down.
Right.
But you don't ever see, like, Zod, like, cut someone in half.
Right, like melting people or tearing yeah. their arms off.
Right. That you don't actually establish. There is a time where you're listening to Zod talk, and he's saying, like, he was genetically built for this.
Right.
And you feel, at least I did, sorry for him. This is like a Brave New World thing. He was built to do this.
Right.
And he can't stop himself.
Well, and I thought that made it interesting. I thought that makes the character even more interesting.
Yeah.
I agree with that, too.
But then you feel that, well, he can't, like, you don't want to necessarily shoot the dog, right, that's rabid. You
sometimes
feel,
you gotta shoot that dog.
That's true, but if you can lock it in a pen and wait for animal control, you can do that too.
Fair enough.
You know, you don't go and get a golf club and beat a dog to death. You know, you just don't do it.
Well, let's address this. Let's address killing Zod.
All right. And then I had an enormous problem with it.
Okay.
He did. He verbally, like,
in the theater,
Joe took the name of the Lord in vain.
I said out loud, this is the part that Joe Patrick didn't like.
Yeah. It like Superman doesn't kill.
Right.
And again, people will keep saying, well, this isn't Superman for you old dudes. This is a new Superman for a new
right.
generation.
I'm 35.
No, listen.
You're almost dead, Dave.
No.
Then the character you've created is not Superman. Superman has, beyond the whole thing about inspiring people to be at their best and to create a sense of hope and to inspire people to reach for the stars, all of which is given lip service in the movie.
Right.
But is never once shown, yep. ever. Superman does not kill. For him, taking a life is a failure. And yes, he's killed before.
Yeah, he murdered Zod and Superman too. He murdered all three of them. All
right. I have an answer for that.
Lois Lane killed somebody too.
She punched,
and laughed about
she
it.
She punched Ursa and Ursa,
you know,
fell
what?
Into the smoke.
You're a pain in the neck.
Like, murder.
I have an answer for that. According to some things I've read, in the original footage that Donner shot,
yeah.
Zod gets carted off by the cops.
Well,
it was only once the movie was edited by the studios did.
Well,
it,
that that's it still what like that. That's still where it is.
But I mean, that wasn't the intention.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No.
I think it does matter.
It does not matter because that's how the movie ended up.
No, but, well, but man, it's about, not canon. That's a different movie altogether.
I got it. I'm just saying it has happened.
The
before.
Intention was to have Superman not kill, and then the studio comes in and changes it.
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, I challenge you to find me the footage where he doesn't break the
No, no. And that's a point I would like to make. I think the way that they did this, they wrote themselves into a corner.
Yes.
Where there really was nothing else that could be done with the script that they had at that point.
When you talk about
you had to kill him.
When you talk about Superman not having any choice at the end,
right.
The only reason Superman does not have any choice at the end is because the writers didn't give him one.
Well, and here's right. and the other, I'm not going to get into the well,
David Goyer.
He could have done this and he should have twisted him that way or whatever. I'm not going to get into that. I mean, they wrote this story, and this is my problem, because I did like the movie. I do think it is a failure as a Superman film.
Yes.
But I do think it is a good superhero movie.
Well,
and that they wrote themselves into this corner. And yeah. I think they did it deliberately with the intent to show you, this ain't your granddaddy
yes,
Superman.
And that's why I think it's a failure as a Superman
And I
story.
Agree with you. I totally agree with you.
This
but I walked
Superman
out
that
completely
I...
conflicted because it looked like Superman, he moved like Superman, sounded like Superman, but there's like a couple things that happen here that just no fucking way this is Superman.
And yeah. that's the problem with you know? The movie. Because the movie had so much else going for it, the effects, the acting,
right.
The action, the script, the changes they made that were well-received, all of those things that the movie had going for it, and then at the end, they got the most important parts of the character
right.
wrong.
Right.
You know what this movie is?
And that makes it even worse.
Yeah. This movie is like food that's filmed for commercials. It looks
right.
delicious,
it's
but it's
the
like,
most delicious
you
ice cream
put
you've
it in
ever
your mouth.
Seen.
Yeah.
But when you taste it, it's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that, the vanilla ice cream is mashed potatoes. yeah. The chocolate sauce is actually gravy, you know, and the hamburger's made out of sawdust.
Yeah, I mean, I was really conflicted because I did like the movie. I liked the yes. performances. I liked the action. I liked yeah. the way everything looked. But they dropped the ball on making this Superman.
If they could have taken some things...
Batman didn't kill anybody. In three Batman movies, he didn't kill anybody.
He did leave Liam Neeson to die in Batman Begins.
Definitely just seemed unnecessary. And I get that they're trying to maybe put their stamp on it or whatever. But it does... I mean, little things like that, they bother you and I. Now, my dad saw this movie. Casey saw this movie. My brother, Scott. And some other people, they saw this movie. People I know that I work with at the French Bulldog also saw this movie. They all walked out saying, I thought it was fucking awesome. I thought it was totally rad. I'm so glad that Superman's back and they did it right. So on and so forth. You know, I mean, and it's a little disconcerting, but maybe yeah. they are getting the message across this and it's just not hitting nerds like us.
This is where I feel like I put on like the terrible, like, well, you should read the comic books, kind of a pants, and I don't want to do that. It's not what I'm
we
saying.
Can't. We're talking about this, you know, as a movie, you
right?
know? I mean,
and again, as a movie, I'd probably give it a B.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that's
I wanted,
where I'm at.
I'm willing to say the fault lies within me. I went in there hoping, like, and the trailers don't help because the trailers all like
the way the trailers are cut.
Oh yeah, like, you know, young Clark with
30
a cape
seconds in, and I am weeping.
See, and then right. that scene with young Clark with the cape, and he puts his hands and shoulders.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. That totally hit me, but that wasn't until the very end of the movie.
Right, and then,
right. And then
the,
it doesn't even really.
Yeah, all yeah, of the it, elements from the trailer that got me
lost.
Choked up in the trailer. Fell flat in the movie.
They really
right?
did.
Because they feel out of place because it's not that kind of movie.
I think the biggest right. thing that this film got wrong is it wasn't fun. It
yes.
was way too serious.
Remember when Superman saved that cat and the girl ran inside and said, Mommy, a man?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just like, I slaps her.
That
it's
was
like,
fun.
Right. It's, you know, a, it's a funny little
beating
thing.
Beating children is funny.
It's true.
You know?
And then Superman went back and broke that woman's neck for beating a child.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder directed.
All of the arguments about this being him being new to Superman, I understand him.
I get it.
I even agree to him. I even agree with him to an extent. But to address one last time about him killing... Yes, in the comics, he killed Zod, but Superman killing Zod broke that character so badly.
He killed Doomsday, too.
No, you can't. He punched
you can't
him.
Kill Doomsday.
Oh,
Doomsday
that's right, that's he punched right. Doomsday unconscious,
right, yeah.
and then they tied him to an asteroid and threw him into space.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
That's it.
Superman killing Zod broke Superman so completely that over the course of a year, he slowly lost his mind and had a mental break and pretended to be a different character.
Right.
Because he couldn't come to terms with what he did.
Right.
And when he figured out what he had done, he left the Earth. He said, I can't be around this place. I can't be on this planet until yep. I make peace with what happened. And he leaves the Earth, and for a while, Superman is gone from Earth.
So let me ask you, in the next movie, what if that happens? What if he goes, I can't be Superman anymore because I did it wrong?
They won't. And I'll tell you why. Because at the end of this movie, he breaks Zod's neck. He does the hysterical tiger for 10 seconds where he shouts to the air with his fists up. And in the very next scene, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
All, I'm at the Daily Planet. What?
And that is, for me, the ultimate problem with this movie. Is
okay, well, let's get down to it. Brass tacks.
Yeah.
Buy it, skim it, leave it.
Watch it, rent it.
No,
it.
We'll just go with our normal. We'll stick with where we are. Buy it, skim it, leave it. Joe Patrick.
Skim it.
Dave DeMarco. Yeah, I have to do it too. Because I do think it's really cool and we're seeing, but it failed as a Superman movie.
Wait for it to come out on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Watch Game of Thrones and you watch Superman.
I'm saying, see this on the big screen. It's worth it for the spectacle. I mean, alone.
Yeah,
people
kicking
your chair. Yeah,
I mean, this is kind of where I think that our rating system doesn't do the movie justice, because I left disappointed, but my expectations were different.
Right.
For me, this movie got everything wrong that needed to be there in a Superman movie, other than the most superficial elements.
Fair enough.
He's got a red cape. He flies. There's Lois Lane.
He's good looking.
There's Krypton.
Guys, this has been super fun, and I am so glad as many people called as they did.
Yeah.
Keep calling us. We love it. We love to hear your voices. I'm glad that we got varying responses to people that dug it, people that didn't dig it.
I think everybody dug it, except for the...
I feel like a jerk. I'm not going to lie. I feel like a real jerk.
Well, even you said you'd give the movie a B. You're not saying it's an F.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. But if you were to ask me how I think this is as a superhero movie, I'd give it an F.
You mean Superman?
Superman, yes.
Yeah.
As a Superman movie.
That's the difficulty.
As a lead
Superman
into...
for The Quest for Peace was better.
Yeah. No, I'm not going that far.
As a Superman movie. As a Superman movie.
I think this is an excellent first installment in Irredeemable. Like, you start with this, and then you move in. Like, third movie, he's sinking, pushing Singapore into the ground, or underwater. Done.
We'll be back this weekend with another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comicast. Thank you to everyone that called in. And if you want to call us, you can reach us at 402-819-4894. That is the Ziggurat direct line. Or you can leave us a message on Skype. It seems to work every fifth time you try. But it's Two-Headed Nerd is our Skype name. Now, remember, as we learned today, if you are going to call us, you got 3 minutes to get your idea across. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to play a 10-minute dissertation on this show. So, think about it. Sum it up. Call us.
Be concise. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Let's do this. Thanks a lot, guys. We will see you this weekend. Thanks for helping us out, Dave.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Always nice. And you didn't even get shot this time.
Huh, I love it.
Yet.
Oh, no.